This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute has been working towards the goal of making Juno a center for North Coast Indigenous arts, and a big part of that is partnerships with other organizations. So joining me now to talk about that is Carrie Groven, Art Director at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Hello and welcome, Carrie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, and also with us is Robert Mills. He is an adjunct instructor at Northwest Coast Design and artist and creator of Yarachun. Hello, Robert.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, both of you. So for starters, we've all watched the new Arts Campus construction project going up and progressing, and it looks a little bit different every day. And now I understand that classes will soon be starting in spring of 2022. So that's big news. Carrie, how does it feel to be this close?
Oh, it's very exciting and scary and wonderful and fantastic and mind-boggling and all of that. It's just so wonderful. It's such a high privilege to be in a position that we're able to do this. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the classes or programs that will be available or that you hope to offer when the construction is complete, when you're open.
Well, we will offer a combination of Northwest Coast arts classes and focus on art forms that are native to the Alaska Southeast. And we'll have a, you know, metal arts room, a wood arts room, and a room for weaving and skin sewing. And a lot of the courses that we're going to offer will be co-sponsored courses. In other words, they're courses that we are offering, but they're offered for optional UAS credits. And they will tie in with the new Arts Associates degree that UAS, University of Alaska Southeast, is offering with a Northwest Coast Arts emphasis. And the reason why I'm here today is that we're going to talk, we have a lecture at or presentation at the Evening at Egan series that UAS put together this Friday at 7 o'clock. It's online on Zoom. And during this presentation, we'll have people from Institute of American Indian Arts, University of Alaska Southeast, and myself from Sea Alaska Heritage Institute to talk about our partnership that we're having together to really focus on expanding educational opportunities with a focus on Northwest Coast arts and creating and building degree tracks in this area. And then also Robert Mills will be a part of the presentation to talk about formline design, just almost like a little crash course, beginning crash course in formline design, because formline design is at the heart of Northwest Coast arts, and it's at the heart of what we're offering through both UAS and SHI, and also now recently Institute of American Indian Arts.
Great.
And we want people to walk away with some information about our partnerships, why we're doing it, what it's all about, and then what educational opportunities are coming out of that. And we hope that people will be curious and look us all up, maybe sign up for our classes, ask more questions, come and maybe suggest some really good ideas and learn a little bit about formline design and want to learn even more about it.
So, Robert, turning to you now, you are the artist and creator of Yarachun, as well as an adjunct instructor of Northwest Coast Design. I was wondering if you could introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, my name's Robert Mills, obviously, born and raised in Cake, Alaska. Moved to Juneau here a few years ago, and just been for the past, 10 years now, going up and down the Northwest Coast, learning from as many people as I possibly could. So it's been quite an odyssey to meet with so many wonderful artists and culture bearers and community members. So the journey continues.
And how have you been involved with this partnership with SHI for the new arts campus and the new programs and classes they're going to be offered?
Well, the initial reason was I was going to go to the villages and teach form line classes. That was pre-COVID. And then obviously COVID hit and that wasn't an option. So we had to create this program virtually on the fly, which was quite a challenge, but we were able to do it and offer classes online. And they were immensely popular and reached people from all over the nation who otherwise would have never, ever had an opportunity to connect with any formal art teaching. So that was a pretty amazing opportunity. And then that kind of lent itself perfectly into teaching a course through the IAIA, at IAIA virtually, so.
All right. So as Carrie mentioned, this Friday, you'll both be speakers or part of the presentation for Evening at Egan Lecture Series. And the talk will discuss how these partnerships have come together to make this vision for the goal of making Juno a center for North Coast Indigenous arts, how we've made that vision into a reality, and specifically the partnerships involved. So as far as I understand, some of the key players, apart from SHI, were University of Alaska Southeast and Institute of American Indian Art. So how did all of this come together? How did these partnerships, what was involved? Who were the key players and what were their roles?
Well, I think, a primary force to move this forward is our president of the Alaska Heritage Institute, Dr. Rosita Worrell, who kind of made these initial connections with the chancellor of University of Alaska Southeast and the president of Institute of American Indian Arts. That's Robert Martin, who's actually going to be one of the presenters on Friday. And I had the privilege of being part of some of these earlier meetings, although I think this effort started before I started at SHI, hashed out kind of what is the vision and the goals that are common for the three institutions. And we signed a memorandum of agreement first in 2016, and then again, that was updated and signed again in 2019. And what we said in this agreement was that our intent was to work together to provide Northwest Coast arts programs and degree tracks in higher education, instructional opportunities, collaborative academic offerings leading to a certificate of associate's of arts degree or a bachelor degree with a concentration in Northwest Coast arts, and just overall enrichment of Northwest Coast arts for Alaska students, and to extend those programs when it's possible to students in the state and the nation. And that's kind of what we've been working on pretty strongly for the last few years. And, there wasn't an associate's degree with a focus on Northwest Coast arts when we started. That associate's degree, I would say, is a result, one of the results of this partnership. I know UAS is working toward a Bachelor of Arts degree also, where the Northwest Coast Arts emphasis plays a major role. So the Arts Associates degree launched the fall of 2020, and a beginner Northwest Coast design class was turned into a general requirement class, which is a big deal to have a Northwest Coast arts course that is integral in, it's an art form of this land, but but it, making it a general, like a required course in the University of Alaska. Or, and then the building of the arts campus kind of came up out of the fact that we, you know, as part of this work, realized that in Juneau, there aren't, or there weren't, dedicated art studios for metal arts, a little bit for wood arts, but we could use more, and for weaving and skin sewing. We're always scrambling to find a good location for it. And it became really clear that a designated space for that was needed. And then what we're able to do with that space is that we can offer a lot more courses, more than were offered before. And the rooms are built for metal arts. They're built for wood arts. And I have a big shopping list in front of me for all the different tools and equipment and supplies that we need, you know, to fill the rooms with. And it's a little daunting, but it's fantastic as well.
I can't wait to get into that space someday, and I'm sure everyone's very excited. So that's part of what we'll hear when we tune into your talk, the Zoom. You'll have some folks from the IAIA there, as well as yourself, the Dean of Arts and Sciences and Professors of Humanities at UAS, and of course, Robert. And Robert, your part of the presentation will actually be a demonstration of form line design. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're planning?
Maybe just a further look into, you have to start being able to identify what makes a design, a form line design, begin to identify components and how they fit together. But I think beyond that, and or bigger than that, on a philosophical level, it's beginning to look at possibly what our ancestors were thinking when they came up with this design, this amazing design system that resides in every major art collection around the world. Just offering some of the thoughts and perspectives that I've come across or have come up with in my time studying and making the art form.
The Egan Lecture Series will be live streamed, and this Friday's lecture is at 7 p.m. It is free, though you do have to go online to register, so you can find out how at uas.alaska.edu/EganLecture, and the lectures are also posted on UAS's YouTube channel for viewing later. Carrie and Robert, thanks for coming today and sharing this vision for the North Coast Arts Center and the information about the talk on Friday. I think everyone is particularly looking forward to Robert's demonstration. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we say goodbye today?
I wanted to mention just maybe a couple of other things that are results of this partnership. There, we have scholarship opportunities for studies in Northwest Coast Arts. There's internship opportunities coming out. We're posting that pretty soon on museums and art studies. Support visiting artists to UAS and II. So Robert Mills was one of our visiting artists. And for the evening at Egan event, we're working toward, you know, building community between the institutions. The first step to build community is to get the word out that this exists in the first place. And so we're looking forward to sharing more about this Friday, December 3rd, 7 to 8 p.m. And I want to mention also Karen Sulkaitis is the UAS Dean of Arts and Sciences. She will be there, she will host and she will speak. II President Robert Martin will be there, which is a big honor, and really looking forward to his segment about the partnership. and then Philippe Colon, IEI Academic Dean, myself, and Robert Mills.
Thank you. And then, Robert, anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye?
No, I don't think so. I think Carrie has pretty much covered that, and looking forward to seeing everybody this Friday.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming today. And I just want to say it's really interesting and important to talk about the people and the organizations who have been working so hard to make this happen. So thank you. Gnas Chish.
Gnas Chish.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. This is Shelley Delaney. Every December 18th, there's a national wreath-laying ceremony to remember veterans, which takes place at more than 2,500 locations across the United States, at sea and abroad, including in Juneau. So joining us now to tell us more is Sarah Heeb, and she's with the Daughters of the American Revolution, Regent Inside Passage Chapter. So hi, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Before we talk about the ceremony, tell me a little about Daughters of the American Revolution and how you're involved.
Well, Daughters of the American Revolution is a women's service-oriented group where we do service to support our mission of patriotism, education, and historic preservation. So anything we do in the community is for that. And all the ladies who are part of our group can trace their ancestry back to a person who helped the American Revolution way back in like 1776-ish. So we all have some ancestor that fought or provided help for American independence. Mm.
And of course, there are descendants of veterans from all the wars, but Daughters of the American Revolution is pretty well known. So what about your organization helps it stand out and stand the test of time?
You know, veterans, well, what we do, we historic preservation, for one, we do that locally. We are a national organization, however, we have chapters locally. There's 5 in Alaska, and we try to focus on the local things that we can do to help promote patriotism, promote veterans, promote early education, literacy. I mean, we have like 30 different committees that we can do as part of Daughters of America Revolution that help support our missions. Here locally in Juneau, we set up a holiday tree at the Veterans Clinic in the Federal Building. That's one thing that I look forward to doing every year, because who doesn't like to decorate a Christmas tree? So we do that. We do cards for veterans. We're doing the Wreaths Across America for veterans. So the organization does whatever is necessary that we can do to help support patriotism and remembering where we came from and looking towards the future as well.
So what's important to you about being a part of Daughters of the Revolution and supporting patriotism and organizing the events that you do throughout the year?
It's important to me because my mom was a member, my grandmother was a member, my great-grandmother was a member. It's a family tradition. But that being said, you know, I still really enjoy doing something for the community any way that I can. And this is like a niche for me, because I get to do, I get to help out where I can, and it's on a smaller scale. So I'm not feeling overwhelmed in doing big events. So I think that that's where my interest and desire to be part of DAR stems from. Mm.
Well, today you're here to tell us about Wreaths Across America. It's sponsoring wreaths to place at the graves of veterans, and they will do that on December 18th. What does that look like here in town?
This is the second year we've officially done it. I know that a couple years before that, we've gone out individually with some wreaths and placed them on graves at one of the local cemeteries. But what it looks like is we get sponsorship of wreaths over the year. And then they get delivered to us. And then on December 18th, we will be going out to 3 local cemeteries, the Columbarium at the Shrine, the Alaskan Park and Mortuary on Riverside, and again on at Evergreen Cemetery. And we are going to place wreaths there at the cemeteries on veteran graves. Some of those graves are very easily marked because it says that they're a veteran on them. There are 8 ceremonial wreaths that are just going to be placed around the flagpoles of those of the veteran circles at those cemeteries. And the wreaths there have 8 flags, 1 for each wreath, that stand for each part of the military. So for example, we have, name them out here, the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, the Coast Guard. There's one for prisoners of wars and missing in action. That's 5. And then there is the Merchant Marines. Oh man, I'm gonna miss one because I can just remember right now that the newest one, they've included a Space Force flag this year. Last year we had 7 flags, but now since Space Force is here, we have 8 flags and 8 ceremonial wreaths.
And outside of Juneau, is this a nationwide event?
Yes, it is. There are over 2,500 other locations, cemeteries, groups that are also doing wreaths across America, all over the nation.
And are you on the same day, on December 18th? And are you laying wreaths at the graves of all veterans or only veterans of the Revolutionary War?
You know, it is for all veterans, because if we were only doing it for Revolutionary War, we would not be doing it in Juneau, because we do not have any graves, I think, of Revolutionary War patriots here in Juneau.
Those would be pretty old graves, I realize.
Yes, but a unique fact about DAR is that when it was created, there were still actual daughters of people who fought in the Revolutionary War. I mean, they were probably getting older, but they were still there, you know, actual daughters of the people who fought there. So that's an interesting factoid, if you will. But yeah, anyone, any military, any veteran's grave would have a wreath.
So this year's theme is Live Up to Their Legacy. What does that theme mean to you and to the Daughters of the American Revolution?
That theme means that we need to do things in honor of their service, the sacrifice that they gave to help our country, and to live up to that, to look moving forward, doing things that we can do to continue the patriotism and to continue that idea of service to our country. That's living up to their legacy for me.
So how do we get involved if we want to sponsor a wreath or request a wreath be laid on a grave? What do we need to do?
In order to sponsor a wreath or request one, you can reach out to the Inside Passage chapter, and we have a Inside Passage DAR at yahoo.com email. And then also just directly on the web, if you go to wreathsacrossamerica.org/AK0030P, as in Papa, that takes you to our Wreaths Across America website specific to Juneau, where it gives information on volunteering to actually lay wreaths, because we do encourage on December 18th for people to come and actually help us lay the wreaths. We want people to not just sponsor wreath, but actually have the opportunity to lay a wreath. That website would give you information on how to sponsor wreath and also how to volunteer and show up to lay a wreath.
And did you say the deadline was December 1st?
Yes, for this year's wreath laying, the deadline to sponsor wreath is December 1st. But also keeping in mind that this is a yearly thing and they take sponsorship of wreaths throughout the entire year.
And they'll be laid on December 18th, which is a Saturday, and I bet it'll look really nice. So we've been talking with Sarah Heeb from the Inside Passage chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Sarah, is there anything else you want to share today? Anything I didn't ask you yet?
I think when you said that and saying it'll be very nice, I have ordered good weather for that day. I don't know if news got into the right person, but I have requested good weather. So it was actually very beautiful. So hopefully this year we will be lucky again.
I hope so, too. Well, thanks for coming on Juno Afternoon to tell us about this national program to remember veterans and how we can be a part of it.
Thank you.
Take care. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Up next, we're going to talk with CBJ Parks and Rec Department, who are on a mission to keep everyone busy this month. So joining us now to talk about all of December's offerings, we have George Schaff, Parks and Rec's director. Hi, George.
Hey, Shelley. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And Lauren Anderson, Treadwell Arena Manager. Hello again, Lauren.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
Feels like you and I just talked last week.
Sure did.
Well, you're both here to give us some updates on activities for December and beyond. So, George, let's start with you. What is on your list?
Thanks, Shelley. Yeah, we've got a lot going on this winter, especially during the holiday season. So, you know, during the pandemic, we've tried to be creative and come up with some new and exciting activities that folks can do with their families and friends. And some of those, I'd like to run down the list with you here. We've got our winter pass available right now. This is something that we've done the last few years, and this is a $150 pass that gets you access to all of Parks and Recreation's facilities from November all the way through March 31st. So it's unlimited access to the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, Diamond Park Fieldhouse, and Treadwell Arena, all for $150. And folks can buy that now all the way until January 1st by visiting our website at juno.org/parks-recreation. We also have the candy cane hunt starting on December 1st. So that's going to begin tomorrow. That's a downtown do-it-yourself activity that we're doing in partnership with a lot of the small businesses in downtown Juneau. So we have hidden 54 candy cane numbers in business windows all over downtown. And the challenge is to match those numbers up to the businesses where they are posted. And you can download your candy cane tracker. You can head out and visit all these great shops and stores, submit your tracker by noon on December 20th, and you're gonna have a chance to win some great prizes. And our office right now is overflowing with gifts and goodies that we've gotten from all the businesses in downtown Juneau. It's just a really great way to get out and shop local and support our local businesses down there and have fun doing it. So again, that's gonna start tomorrow.
Sorry, what are some of the gifts and the giveaways and the goodies that you've got with you?
Boy, I can tell you there are gift cards to some of the merchants downtown. We've got some good swag. We've got some good gear that I've seen from, I mean, everything you can think of, from coffee mugs to clothing. We've got and gift cards. So there's just a lot in there. We're going to have a lot of prizes to give away at the end of this.
All right. Great incentive to participate.
You bet. Some of the other things we have going on that are a little bit warmer because they're going on indoors is we've got youth basketball. So youth basketball registration is open right now through December 3rd. And beginning on December 4th, there'll be a late fee to register. Registration right now is first come, first serve. We got limited space and it is $55 per person. But that's a great activity to keep the young kids occupied throughout the winter season here. And for the older folks, for the adults, we've got co-ed volleyball registration that's going to be opening here very shortly, actually, just in the next couple of days. And folks can register for that on our website as well at juno.org/parks-recreation. Don't want to take up all the time here, but I'll just mention too that the Jensen Olsen Arboretum is a great spot to pass a snowy, sunny day. And its winter hours are open Friday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And if it's raining here in town, it's probably beautiful out at the Arboretum. So if you need a break, head on out to Mile 23 and visit the Arboretum in the wintertime. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot.
Did you say their winter hours?
I did. It's Fridays through Sundays, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Thank you. I didn't catch that the first time. Appreciate it.
No worries.
You know, it's kind of kind of a bummer when you go out there and find that they're closed. So always check before you go.
Yeah. All right. And the Point Caroline Trail is always open.
Ah, thank you. Thanks for that reminder too. George Schaff, all that sounds great. Lots to do to pass the time this winter. And so Lauren, turning to you now, Treadwell Arena is a hot spot in the cold weather. What's happening at the rink?
Well, we've got are open skating, and new this year, we're doing reservations, and so it's $5 for each time that you register for our open skate. And open skates vary from Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursday afternoons to Friday evenings. We actually have two skates on Friday. We have an afternoon skate and an evening skate. We have a Saturday night skate. And then our most popular skate is Sunday afternoon. Skating's a really great activity you can do with your family. And it really is a nice balance to prepare you for skiing, which a lot of folks can do both activities even in the same day. And so we like to encourage those that are getting their skiing legs ready to come and skate at the rink. And as we're waiting for more snow and for Eagle Crest to open, we can skate at the rink. We also have a parent and tot time, and this is designed for kids 5 and under, and registration is required for that. And it's $15, and that's admission for one child and one adult, and a skating lesson. We just go over the basics, falling down, getting up, just getting more comfortable on the ice. We have beanbags and things we can play with for distraction, but also a really nice teaching tool. So we're excited to be offering more programming than we did last year, and overall, just reminding people that Tri-Ball Arena is open. It's a great winter activity. And it's in Sabico Park, which is just a wonderful resource where you can go to the beach or be on the Tri-Ball Historic Trail and then come skating at the rink, or, be at a baseball field or a soccer field. So there's a lot to do around here.
These are all great suggestions for activities to do this winter and to keep active. Go ahead, George.
Oh, that wasn't me.
Oh, sorry about that. I thought I heard you pipe up. Well, thanks to both of you. There's so much going on. I really appreciate you taking the time to bring us up to date on all the CBJ Parks and Rec offerings for December. George Schaff and Lauren Anderson. Anything else you two want to share?
Just a reminder to maybe like us on Facebook. We try to post most current information on the Facebook page or on our website as we're getting we're opening up more things and allowing more folks to use our facilities. That's a really great place to check out the most current information as we evolve through these times.
Thank you for that reminder, and thanks again to both of you for your time today. I hope you have a great month of December. Have fun doing all the things. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Shelley.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. With me now is Fawn Waterfield. We are just enjoying some music by her daughter, Tekla Waterfield. Welcome to this show. Hello, Fawn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks so much for being here today. You are an artist and much more. You have an exhibit opening at the Jack this first Friday as part of Gallery Walk. And your bio absolutely fascinated me. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna recap because I'm so excited to talk with you here. For those who don't know you, you have roots in Southeast Alaska. You were raised here. You also lived in California, traveled around the Pacific Northwest for many years before returning back here. You have studied art and taught art that whole time, almost your whole life in Alaska and outside. Your father was a homesteader. Your mother owned a shipyard in Petersburg. And you are the mother to Kima, who is a book author, and Tekla, who is a musician, and a son whose technical expertise played a big role in your work. So pretty cool life that you're leading so far, Fawn.
Yes, that's true. Definitely.
All right. So let's talk about your new exhibit. Tell me a little bit about how your past as a painter connects to your present work as an artist who is exploring digital media.
Well, I've always been involved in representational work. I've tried my hand at abstract work, and it just, there has to be something in it that's human that I can relate to. So the printer said that I'm definitely a painter because of the size of my images. They're almost all, 4x5 aspect ratio. So that makes it good for a 16x20 or a 12x16 image. So I guess, yes, that as a painter or as a printmaker or as a drawer, a draftsman, it takes forever to do a piece. And the nice thing about this work is that I can take these images from multiple places and superimpose them onto each other, cut out parts and put them on each other. And so I can try things that, and very quickly I can, oh, I like this, or no, I don't like this, or hey, what if I put this little thing over here? And instead of having to start the painting completely over, I haven't committed anything. It's on, it's digital. I keep all the copies, the back copies and that sort of thing. So I know where it's all moved to. It makes it a lot quicker to actually create art. I think you can see, if you looked at my art, I think you could see definitely that I have a painter's background. So
the
composition. Yeah.
The title of your upcoming exhibit is called Lightworks, and based loosely on themes inspired by the beauty of Alaska, as much of your work has been. So would you say some more about that?
Well, I am a naturalist, I guess you could call me. I get a lot of energy and hope and upliftment when I spend time in nature. And I love the national forest. I love the rainforest. I love being here. So that sort of beauty has always been the thing that's attracted me. As an artist, I want to somehow speak about what happens when I imbibe in nature. I kind of look at my portraiture as a similar thing, that, because portraits are working with natural subjects. So yeah, I love the forest. I really love the forest. So I have a couple of things that are going along with the forest. The idea is that the forest is sanctuary to not just myself, but to many people. So it comes up often in my work.
I love this quote that you sent us. You said, "There is a magical reality feeling to it because of the process of layering photo images and pushing the boundaries in color saturation and contrast, etc." That I think was in related to, you know, exploring this new world of digital photography. Would you say more about what you meant by that quote?
Somebody told me, Laura told me, Miko told me recently that my artwork has cookies. I said, well, what does that mean? She goes, well, you think you see it, and then you come back many, many, many times later and you find more things that are in there. And I think that layering causes that to happen. So it is true that you can look at a piece and then look at it again and you find stuff. I'm an artist and it's still happening to me. So this stuff is, you know, several years old now. So, and then when I was a young woman, taking classes at Anchorage Community College back in the day, I had a teacher, when I was asking the question, how do I know if art is good? How do you know if it's a good piece or not? And she said, well, you know, one of the definitions of a good art is that you are fed by the piece each time you go back to it. And then I found a quote somewhere that said that magical art was like that. Magical art continues to give you something as you go back to it over time. So I think that the digital process, this layering and layering of images, does that. It builds and builds and builds. And you can, as a visual, when you're looking at it, you can actually see the layers. And that layering aspect to me, I've been thinking a lot about time recently because I'm in my 60s and I'm a grandmother, and time is passing quickly and I've lost people, and it's an issue. Time's an issue for us. So I like the layering effect because you can actually add images that are from different time periods, and it gives you that kind of almost a visceral feeling of being in time. You know, like you're moving through time. I like that. I like that a lot. So, yes, there's the kind of technique that I use with the layering. There's certain kinds of effects that you can have. And I use the free apps because I have problems with I'm dyscalculate. So I use the free apps. So you only have so many choices you can make. So if I put an image on top of another image, then there's a certain amount of foundness about, oh, how does this look? Oh, how does this look? So it's very much, I think of it as jamming with music. And instead of music, I'm using these images. And it's like, oh, I like this chord. I like this color chord. Oh, I like this texture chord with this, right? So the apps push back. The apps give me certain parameters. I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I can try this. So it's not just, okay, I'm going to put this on here, and I'm going to have this look exactly like this, and it's going to be exactly like this. It's not like that at all. There's a real kind of a discovery to using the medium.
Something else you had said when you were describing what you liked about working with digital photography was that, quote, there is an aleatory factor of the medium. And I think you're just starting to touch on that. But what does that mean?
Aleatory is like jamming. It's like, what was that word they used to say when we were kids, when people would just jam on a subject?
Like freestyling?
Freestyle, yeah. One of my favorite ways to play music is to just jam on a theme, just pick out a chord or a song, a couple of songs, and just jam on it. And using these apps and this type of technology is very much like that. I'm jamming on a theme. I get an idea, and that foundness about what are the apps going to do to it when I put these two images together, what's going to happen. So it's kind of riffing. I had a really good music partner years ago that was what it was like. We would just riff with each other. I would play, I'd go dee-dee, and he'd go, oh yeah, so what, here, and he'd throw something back at me. It's kind of like that, only it's visual instead of audio.
Well, tell me about your exhibit. It looks like you're in the gallery right now getting set up, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so
here in the, we're almost done.
What can attendees expect to see when they come to the Jack on Friday?
I have a number of images. There's some that didn't make the cut because there just wasn't enough room. I have a number of images that are giclée, and they're framed. And any of those images could be bought off the wall at the end of the month. People can come pick them up. Or I have a number of posters that are made that are attached to a 16 by 20 mat board, and they're inside of a nice little see-through containers that are less expensive because they're not giclée. So, though, they are actually very good high-quality prints. So, that's what you'll see. I'm looking forward to maybe putting a little Christmas greenery in here. And you'll see me.
All right. Well, we're speaking with Fawn Waterfield. She has an exhibit opening at the Jack this first Friday, Gallery Walk. It's been great to talk to you about your process and your inspiration, and best of luck. I'm sure you're going to have a great crowd. So I hope you have a good time on Friday.
Yes. Could I just mention that it's important to bring your proof of vaccination when you come?
Yeah, thanks for that reminder. And I think everything on First Friday is going to be like that. Proof of vaccination required and masks. So thanks for the reminder.
Right.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of the time you've got setting up there, and we'll see you this First Friday.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.